This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their taproom in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yo, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
Welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We are broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios. In this week's special treat, a guest in the studio again, we have Steady Hand. And I am Tim Dennis. With me, as always, my good friend, co-host, Brian Hewitt.
Hey, Tim. So joining us from Steady Hand, we have Andrew Wenk, a.k.a. Slam. Is that right, Slam?
That is right.
Yes, the Slammin' Man, the head brewer, some call him brewmaster, for Steady Hand. We're going to talk about new beers, classic beers, getting an update, upcoming events, and maybe some drunk shopping, maybe, if we get to the news. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it. First bit of media since taking this position.
And, oh, good. Know. Yeah, that's you. Right. Yeah. Newer to Steady Hand, but not new to brewing or Georgia beer, correct?
Georgia beer is life. I'm very happy to be a contributor to it. It is my greatest honor to be a head brewer at a Georgia brewery.
Yeah, man, it's pretty awesome. And we always love drinking.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We enjoyed. We've been enjoying drinking the beers that you have been brewing right along. And sometimes we didn't even know that you were the one making them. So,
yeah, funny, right? Like I'd see you at three taverns and I'm like, yeah, I'm just a peon. So, you know, whatever. We'll wait till the big show. And here we are, I guess. Right.
The show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The show.
Once step you're on our level now, we'll talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could do it, man. We could do it. Well, again, man, thanks for coming and hanging with us. We always have a good time with that. Looking forward to it.
Appreciate it.
To diving into things. So, you know, Brian, there's a beer holiday.
There is another beer holiday.
I love beer holidays. This one is one that, you know, I got to admit, I haven't been down to the big celebration here in the Atlanta area. Orval Day,
yes.
Do you know anything about Orval Day? The only thing I really know is they drink Orval.
I started to look into it and I got busy and so I didn't dive into it, but it was just one of those things where there was an article about it, and it spent a lot of time talking about the history of Orval and the Trappist. And it's a beer that's very significant that a lot of people love, and it deserves its own day, is my understanding. Okay.
I feel like we're doing a bit of a disservice mentioning Orval Day and then not knowing the details of Orval Day.
Yeah, that may well be true, but it is around the world. I see people doing it in the Carolinas. I see people doing it Merchant Duvin, I think. Are they based out of New York? I think
so. I've heard of them.
There's a number of places, like every year this is a thing, and I did not delve into it any deeper than, hey, it's a great beer, it needs its own day, just like you've got Hunapu Day. Well, what more is there to know other than they're releasing it? It's a great beer. Now Orval is always available, but it's a great beer and it needs a reminder that you need to drink it.
Cool. So Andrew, do you know anything about Orval Day, the history and traditions of Orval Day?
You know, you'd think coming from a former Belgian brewery that you probably would. Yeah. Unfortunately, no. That's not my forte.
Yeah. Well, I know we have at least a couple places here in Atlanta that celebrate. Brick Store Pub being the big one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They really pull out all the stops. And then, you know, they're one of those beer bars that they're going to have the right glassware. They're going to have the beer at the right temperature, probably as fresh. And I would imagine probably some vintage offerings as well. So
for sure.
Definitely worth going out and celebrating the holiday.
And that beer does age well. And it's one of the neat things about it being Trappist, it does have some wild bugs in it. It's a little bit of a Brett character and some things going on there. So it's always fun to drink that. And it does very much improve with age. So
yeah. You know, Andrew, it's fun. Do you drink much Belgian beer?
So I am a big fan of a triple.
Okay. All right.
I love me some St. Bernardus. I mean, really, anything that Bold Monk is doing right now, though, I'm very pleased to go and have. I love having them across the street from me at this
point. Candy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, super. But yeah, I typically like the higher ABV or what am I talking about? I love a good Saison, though.
And that's, see, right.
You know,
all right, yeah, as the brain keeps going, it's like, yes, I drink a ton of Belgian beer. I need to quit denying that.
He's opening up those locked cabinets and finding,
He's
finding new stuff.
There. Finding dusty bottles of Saisons.
Oh, look at this Saison. I'd forgotten about
it. You know, it's hard to beat a good just Belgian-style table Saison beer.
Saison DuPont.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic.
But you know, we always talk about like when they do things like Orval Day in that there was a time when Belgian beer, if you were a craft beer drinker, and you wanted some variety and a little booziness, you were going to have to get into Belgians, especially if you were in Georgia. You'd have to bring in some contraband there with a little higher ABV and enjoy it.
But I heard about that. What year was that? Like 2007
or something like that? Or maybe earlier than
six,
that? Five?
Seven? I don't recall off the top of it. It's 6% not that long ABV. Ago in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about it.
Like a minute ago, basically.
Yeah. Mm. But cheers to Orval. Going to be a good time drinking that.
I'm gonna do my best to find a bottle in time for that, or maybe possibly make it down to one of the celebrations.
We'll see.
And then I'll find out what it's all about, which I still suspect it's mostly let's drink this beer.
Our friends at The Nest have their anniversary this weekend, Brian.
Oh, that's right.
So maybe we could hit that and maybe down into Atlanta for us a little Orval, a little double dipping.
Well, maybe they'll have Orval there. They might have it there.
They might, man. You in just bottles. Never know.
Well, Tim, I think we should probably get into the beers of the week.
Brian, speaking of our friends at The Nest, you know, they do sponsor this segment for us every week. We greatly appreciate that. And again, their holiday, their anniversary is this weekend. So they're throwing down there some good food going on, some special beers. I don't know if one's Orval, Brian, but there's really only one way to find out there.
Correct.
But tonight we are getting into Steady Hand. Right now we have one with a very fancy name, Lager. Which I think is a lager. Am I correct?
It is a lager.
Yeah. So we're drinking lager right now. We also have their Cloudland, which is a hazy IPA. We have Chasing Satellites, which is a hazy double IPA with all New Zealand hops. And one named Nuts, which is a pastry stout.
And
I'm not going to ask any more about that until we drink it. I'll find out.
It feels like my liquid spirit animal, honestly.
The liquid spirit animal. Yeah. And it's not in a flaming cabinet right now, so we'll be able to easily access it.
Should be chilled very well.
Yeah, it should be good. Well, Brian, you got some news for us this week?
I do. So I can pay off that drunk shopping reference. Apparently, Americans spent over $14 billion drunk shopping in the past year, the past time the survey was released. One in six Americans, or 45 million, admit to shopping under the influence, according to something called the Drunk Shopping Survey. So that's a thing. It's released by Finder.com, which I think does some things with retail, basically retail research. I've never heard of them before, but if you can believe it, the number is actually down from 21 billion the previous year. So the most common purchases, clothing and shoes, at 47%, also 47% for food. Alcohol is up there at 34%. Gambling, 34%, cigarettes, 34%, and DVDs, movies, and streaming services, 25%.
I'm disappointed that, like, number one wasn't, like, life-size dragon statues. Just, like, if you're going to drunk shop, do it right.
Or like, that T-Rex
pocket
outfit.
Knives.
The T-Rex outfit. Oh, yeah. I've always wanted one of those. So,
right.
You just buy that.
Number one, dragon statues. Number two, inflatable T-Rex costumes.
Who do you think does more drunk shopping, men or women?
Oh, men. I think men. Yeah.
You agree? It's definitely men. I was shaking my head, so I kind of gave that away. But yeah, only 10% of women say they've shopped under the influence, 26% of men. The West, in terms of regions, leads the pack in shopping drunks, followed by the South, then Northeast, and then finally the Midwest. So what was the last thing do you guys ever shop drunk? Have you ever bought anything while you're intoxicated?
I buy cigars.
Cigars. Okay.
Oh, I've definitely
been guilty there for sure.
Yeah.
You drink and then you're like, oh, I need a cigar. It's like, to fit this vibe. And that's what.
And you see a box of something. It's like, that's a great, I love that cigar. Oh, then they've got a 10 or 15% discount on it or something like that, which is common. You're like, oh, I should just definitely get that. Yeah. That would be amazing. Right now.
Get a couple bucks off.
Yeah.
that's right. Oh, that's on sale. Mm-hmm. That's it. So. No, I'm not sure the last thing I got. I haven't been intoxicated in a long time. So, you know what? Probably a pocket knife. I would bet because there's not a lot of stuff I buy in general. Just not a lot of shopping in general. The things I have been buying, pocket knife. So I imagine that was probably my last one. So drunk shopping's fun though. You are listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We do need to take us a break, but we'll be back right after this.
Have you been to the Nest Kennesaw yet? Hi, I'm Adam, owner of the Nest in historic downtown Kennesaw, and I want to personally invite you to visit us. With the best damn barbecue in town, 48 taps of always rotating craft beers, a dog-friendly patio, all in two conjoined historical homes, we know there's something for you at the Nest Kennesaw. Find us at thenestkennesaw.com to start drooling over that menu, or go ahead and grab your friends, your family, or just yourself and come on in for a pint. The Nest Kennesaw, can't wait to have you at our table.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences, the bum's lost.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand. So if you missed the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on the Podcast Park and all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now let's get back to Steady Hand Beer Company.
Steady Hand. You guys are drinking faster than me. I'm still nursing my lager, but you guys have actually moved on to some cloudland there, right?
We have, yes.
Is this cloudland or cloudland? What is the proper pronunciation here?
I think you go cloudland, right?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't say cloudland canyon, right?
Yeah. I think it'd be cloudland.
Yeah, cloudland.
I might. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's what I would know. Do.
That works.
We'll go with cloud dash land.
Well, Andrew, currently with Steady Hand, but we're gonna back it up a little bit and come up to Steady Hand.
Okay.
So
we
know your beers first or previously with Three Taverns brewing here in Atlanta, Decatur, actually.
Yes.
And you were there 2017 till December of last year, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. What'd you think of partying with those guys?
They're family. I love them.
Yeah.
It's what a time. I mean, I would never wish it any other way to get into this industry. Grind and, you know, get to where I am today. So, they're bad at great.
They're great.
Sorry. Yeah. I mean, working with, you know, Yoron in the beginning and you know, over at Halfway Crooks, moving to Riley and then Neil, that's just, I'm very lucky to have those three.
Was there anything in particular that you were responsible for brewing there, or any styles or any particular beers that were your children, so to speak?
So one that you may be familiar with, Martyr's Breath, was one of the big stouts that was my baby, a rye stout with tonka bean and vanilla. Probably released, I don't know, sometime over the summer, maybe.
But I believe that I drank that beer out of a Magnum, possibly
at Brick Store.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah,
that was such a cool day.
Dave Blanchard personally pouring it into my tasting. Was that their 22nd, 25th anniversary? Somewhere in there,
it might have been.
We're in the 20s, right?
It was a very significant one, hence the partying.
But that beer was one of the special beers for the anniversary of Brick Store Pub recently, the 20-something anniversary of Brick Store. And Dave Blanchard, one of Brick Store's owners, went around, you know, pouring samples for everybody. And I remember. That was stellar.
Thank you.
And it involved us doing a, as we call it, internet poke hole into looking up the tonka beans and all the how controversial those little beans are, right?
Like technically quasi, possibly not legal to put in food or something, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
No one knocked on the door and said no. That's right. Good.
Purcell, as I recall, was quite happy in spreading the interesting controversial rumor about these beans are a little questionable. Sure. I don't know if you want to drink it.
Yeah.
Hence the name's Martyr's Breath.
I tell you what, since we're mentioning that, these beans, they're obviously you can get them in the US because they're in the beer, but I guess in higher doses they can be toxic, right?
Yes. I forget if it is like same element as like what is in fentanyl or something.
Okay. But all right.
Kind of adjacent to something that you could overdose on if you had like, I don't know, 30 pounds of tonka beans.
If you ate a whole bag.
Yeah, like, sack.
You'd be so high.
right. But they don't look good. They don't, you know, really smell good. It's once whenever it's in solution, that's whenever it becomes good to me.
And Why are they? Because I've seen other beers that use them, and they seem to be pretty prized by brewers. What do you get from these beans? And, you know, what makes them attractive to put in a beer?
So for Martyr's Breath, there was a sense of cinnamon in the beer, but there was no cinnamon in the beer.
I remember that. Right. Yeah, there definitely was a neat, like, woody cinnamon presence that was the woody very enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think you get from some cinnamon in itself by itself. But, you know, that was an interesting thing. There's some other woods, I think, that do that. Amberana wood or whatever. I love non-cinnamon things to give mm-hmm. cinnamon flavor. But actual cinnamon in beer almost always is overdone, I've found. So I'd like cinnamon coming from other sources other than cinnamon.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. We, Neil had done an Amberano sometime at the Imaginarium, like maybe 2 years ago. And it was like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It just outstanding cinnamon character. And it's like from wood. What do you know?
Yeah. Granted, I love things like that. Like I said, whether it's wood or different hops, that we had what was it called? Thiolized. Brian?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the thiolized lager. Yeah.
And mean, it was like you were drinking mango juice, but there was no mango in it at all. It was just from these particular hops they used.
It's the yeast. The yeast was producing.
It's the yeast.
Okay. It was like it had been heavily dry hopped and get the mango and all your great yeast flavors out of it. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting delivery because it was a fairly plain lager, but it was like it had, or no, maybe a fairly plain pale ale, but it tasted like it had been very heavily doctored with hops. It hadn't been really hardly at all. Like all boil edition hops, and that was it.
Yeah, fancy stuff, man.
Yeah.
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 So, Andrew, then moving on up, speaking of anniversary, Steady Hand joined them. You joined them in December mm-hmm. when and they just celebrated their fourth anniversary, or you just celebrated.
Yeah.
Them, you.
And me.
Fourth anniversary, correct?
Yep. 4 years.
How was that, man? What was the party like there?
It was cool. So we filled up the tap list probably for, I don't know, maybe the first time ever. Not sure.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what I hear. So 24 taps, 3 bands, big crowd, great energy. It's like, it's really what the, you know, what you're looking for, I think, in a nanny. Not like... What am I trying to think of?
Funeral?
Just
a funeral. Like, not like a funeral. Like,
you know, yeah. we're a really spacious venue. We have great acoustics, I think, to have live shows, and it's just a nice vibe. It really is.
Yeah.
Like, Annie was great though. A lot of good food vendors there, and crowd was just going nuts over. I think we tapped a blood orange Weiss beer.
Okay.
And I just kept hearing people going, oh, my gosh, that's it. That's the one. And I'm just like, really? Out of all the beers here today?
Really? Yeah. I saw the list. You had like 18 pastry stouts mm-hmm. or something like that.
You know.
Usually people are like, oh, this one with Oreo, which we might drink later. The Oreo one is like, oh, this is the one. But so they went the orange Weiss beer. Huh?
Yeah. It was a little wacky to me. Like you got all these double IPAs, all these stouts. And I mean, it's the crowd that you have there. I mean, most, I think the fun part about the brewery to me has been, it's a clientele that likes the light crushable, you know, I'm going to be here for several hours and I want to be able to get home safely. So, you know, you're crushing lager, wheat beer, maybe a little dip your toe into the stout, but yeah.
Little just taste. Different crowd. Go back to those
very crotch out from what I'm used to.
Those session beers.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. You said you have 24 taps. How many taps do you typically have? Like 24 is, I think that's way more than anything sort of like the brick store might have that I would ever see. So what do you typically have on a weekend or whatever?
So I've just been trying to build up from, I think when I started, they had their lager, a previous batch of, a pale ale. I think they had a pale ale on and a couple of sours. And since then we have introduced Cloudland, a couple of variants of Cloudland, trying to, you know, fill out a little bit more in the fresh hops atmosphere. And then got new lager on, got wheat beer, and we're just trying to, you know, keep diversity going and giving everyone something to enjoy. Cause like the West Side Ale Trail, it's fantastic place to drink. I mean, you have a wide array. You have the, you know, round trip doing the German thing. You have Bold Monk going Belgian. Yeah. Good diversity. I feel like I can fill in for a little for everyone.
something for everyone in that area.
That's what we're going for.
Good stuff. Well, you're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We need to get us a break, but we'll be back right after this. Have you visited Ironmonger Brewing recently? Take a trip and see the newly renovated and spacious tap room, or enjoy the outdoors in their new beer garden with plenty of seating and shade to ease that summer sun. Ironmonger's tap room has a variety of craft beer and hard seltzer on tap, with wine and spirits coming soon. Ready for a bit of adventure? Try out axe throwing with Ironmonger's 16 target range. It's a perfect spot for some quick fun or to host your next party or corporate event. So grab your friends and have some fun today at Ironmonger Brewing.
Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Get them all coming.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our great radio affiliates, WERL 950 AM in Eagle Rock, Wisconsin. Eagle River, Wisconsin. Catch Beer Guys Radio on WERL every Saturday at 8 a.m. Listen to us while you have a shower beer. I've clearly had too many shower beers today.
There you go. All right.
Now let's get back to Steady Hand Beer Company. I can't do any of this.
It's possible. Are you the one that's sleep deprived?
Osmosis. Is that how that transfers? So fair. It could be. Yes.
That's
it
fair.
Could well
All
be
right.
me.
Well, you made it through it, Brian. So congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
That. So that's good. Slam, how'd you get the nickname Slam?
There's two stories there.
Okay.
The first one, I was a child basically when I joined the industry, and I just used to throw
in my youth.
Around,
I was a child.
Yep. You know, about a little over 5 years ago, just concrete and dropping pallets makes a very loud noise, and it just makes everyone very angry all around you. So that's one way that I got it. But really, what cemented it, I don't know if I should. Yeah, you know, whatever. We'll talk about it. So when I drink a lot, I like to give hugs and I like to pick people up. And sometimes I swing you around and sometimes you get stuck and I drop you on your head. And he was okay. He joined me at 320 Fest at Max Lager's the next day. But that is basically how I earned the name
That's
Slam.
Great.
Was that a full on body slam? Did you just go wrestling on him?
We were spinning around. My wife's like, Andrew, you're drunk. Put him down. And I'm like, okay. And I let him go. And his head just cracked the pavement. And I kept scraped off an eyebrow.
It was bad.
But he's still my friend. He was a great cellarman for me for years. And
R.I.P. He's still around.
Still around. Nothing beyond, will ever kill him.
What is a statute of limitations that's beyond that at this point?
Yeah, we can discuss it now, you know.
So now we're good. We are good.
He's using his buddy as a weed eater over there. him around. Yeah.
Like, he came into Max Lager's the next day, no eyebrow at all, just a big bandage over his head. And I was just like, oh God, I'm so sorry. But, you know, I got a name out of it, and that's cool.
That's a much better story than dropping pallets.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I always give the first one, you know, but I know everyone wants the juice. So,
yeah. One day Brian can tell you how he became known as the Pretzel Walrus.
Okay. I'm not sure anybody really knows the full story.
I know. Yeah. I know. I know.
Well, Andrew, new at Steady Hand. Mm-hmm. And I know anytime you step into a new brewery and a head brewer role, there's a combination of wanting to keep what the fans already love there, but kind of doing your own thing as well. So kind of what's your plan for your own thing at Steady Hand?
Well, my own thing. So luckily I've kind of been given a lot of license here. Not left with a lot of records, notes. So much it was
all right.
Clean slate.
Go for it, bro. And I'm like, Thanks, man. I will. Yeah. So Cloudland fits, like, let's just go over like what I mean here. Cloudland fits tropical hazy, but it's not what it was before because I'm the one making it. And I mean, I think it, you know, fits the description right on the nose, but same thing with lager where, hey, it's crisp, it's clean. Okay, well, now it's, you know, all premium German malt and all German hops. It's not like the American light lager kind of feel, I think, that it was before. And yeah, I mean, I'm a Boyle boy. So
the Boyle, you know, boys, yes, we love those folks.
You did come from a Boyle boy palace, basically, previously.
Yeah. And so. I've been taunting the guys at Pontoon that I make bigger stouts than them, and I'm happy to show it. So, you know, like,
oh boy,
I'm all about it.
Throwing down the gauntlet. Look,
I am the brewer that loves all that stuff that brewers in their own subreddits and everything are like, I hate this. Like, no, give me a hazy IPA or a treated stout. I will drink it. Like who I'm making it for. I have no problem with that at all.
Yeah.
Like I am not a pretentious, if it's not a lager, I'm not going to drink it kind of guy.
I like that. That's the pretentiousness now is the lager is the pretentiousness where it used to be the other way around.
Yeah. I love me a crispy boy. I'm all about it. It's just why when you're making all this other stuff, like you might as well embrace it.
That's kind of my thing, Andrew, is like, look, you know what? You don't like pastry stouts. Okay. Don't drink them.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy enough. You don't like to brew pastry stouts? Don't brew them.
Don't brew them.
But if someone wants to enjoy that and have fun with that, there, I will tell you, this is one we were talking with our brewer buddy. Shout out to Stan. Stan's actually our newest Patreon supporter.
He is.
He's been in the Discord chats with us. But we got to talking about brewing different beers, crazy styles. Brian, you found dill pickle flavored hot sauce.
I did, yes.
And dill pickle flavored ranch. So we dove into this deep conversation of just ridiculous beers. And I think if we start talking ridiculous beers, Martin House is going to slide into the conversation.
Okay.
So, you know, they did a buffalo wing beer and a ranch beer. They've done a hot dog water glizzy seltzer, I think
Is that what that was? Yeah. I know somebody did an actual hot dog water beer. It wasn't Martin House for once, but it was like, oh, it was a chain out of like Pennsylvania.
We had, I'm forgetting the name, but one of our little rural breweries here did one with some hot dog water too. And like I said, my
I was going to say, is that Printer's Ale or Left Hand or not Left Hand? That's a different.
That's not ours.
Yeah. That's somebody else's.
But my point being, you know what? If you want to brew that, brew it. Now, there is one thing I said about Martin House, and I think I made this comment on someone else's post, and Martin House actually came in and made a comment. And I said, you know what? If they want to brew these beers, then brew them. Mm-hmm. Have fun with them. The thing is hopefully they realize this stuff is a fad. It just is. You know, you're not going to be able to set your brewery permanently on ranch wing beers. And a brewery that does those ridiculous kind of beers, if they want longevity, they have to be good brewers. You know, you have to be able to make a lager, an IPA, this and that. And they chimed in and mentioned just, you know, hey, this is, we've got a solid one rated so and so on Untappd and all this. So they did say, look, they've got the solid foundation, because I've seen breweries that have tried to live just on fad and hype and it just doesn't work.
It does really well for a while, but then when the fad runs out, then if they don't find the next fad immediately, which may be completely the opposite, they're done. And I got to say, though, that Martin House is, I know they've been doing the fad beers for a long time. As far as I can tell, they still sell out so fast.
They do. Yeah, people are still on it, and good for them, man. Go out and enjoy it. That's we get grief, Brian, for some of the stuff we drink, you know, that we'll have we'll try, what was the one? The chili cheese beer.
Oh, the chili cheese beer.
Have you had the chili cheese beer? I think we may have a can in the fridge. Here, man, so we might
have a Fritos, chili cheese beer or whatever that is.
You know, I'm curious. Have fun with it. Enjoy it. You know, I like to go out on a Saturday, Sunday, sit around and watch dog competitions at Halfway Crooks on the patio while sipping lager. I like to sit around with buddies on a Saturday evening, having 2 ounce pours of 14 to 18% stouts as well. You know, that's a good time.
Oh, you like the light stouts?
The light stouts,
I don't even get out of bed until they hit 20%.
That's because you can't, man.
That's true. That's a very good point.
20 percenters, but yeah, brew what you like, drink what you like, and don't be pompous about people that do the other stuff.
We should talk about, we should definitely talk about the beer we're drinking now. This is the Chasing Satellites. Is this, mm-hmm. is this a new creation of yours or is this something that, okay.
Yeah. Right. So 8% double IPA, Recal, Nectaron and Waiiti hops, hopped at like 4 pounds a barrel. It's, you know, it's a big boy. So.
Okay. Oh, we were just noticing that we're, would you like to taste mine, Tim? Sorry.
I didn't get any of the latest beer and I was trying to quietly motion to Brian to hand me some and he pointed to the empty can that I just tried to pick up. So
I didn't see that. I apologize, Tim, but okay. you can sip on some of mine.
We're going to get this all figured out, man. We're going to get this all figured out
You said Nectaron though. So
Nectaron.
Yeah, that's one I keep seeing. That's a hype one right now.
Oh man, is it?
Yeah, it is.
That is probably my my favorite New Zealand hop at this point. Opening up all three of those different varieties, I was like, oh yes, here it is. I have arrived to heaven.
The New Zealand goodies. Y'all, we need to take a break. I'm going to get some more of this beer, and we'll be back right after this.
Brian and Tim, the beer guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the beer guys sent you.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now let's get back to Steady Hand.
Steady Hand, Andrew Wink, Head Brewing Brewmaster, Slam. And that may have been a haiku, don't you think?
I think it is a haiku, yeah. So,
but we are drinking right now, we're drinking an Oreo stout, which we thought was going to be nuts, 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 but we grabbed the wrong can. Or it was labeled wrong.
No, something, that was my fault.
Something of those
totally
lines.
My fault.
But either way, how about telling us a little bit about this one that we're drinking then?
Ooh, this is an Oreo stout. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Boiled for 18 hours.
Ooh.
That was a long day. But I'm really glad with how everything came out. Oreo Stout is, we basically did like a bunch of small batch, you know, two or three quarter barrels worth, just so that we could, you know, feature something for Annie. And we're going to be doing regular releases throughout the year, but the stout is just on a copious amount of Oreos. And I'm not mad about that. Threw in some Oreo fudge. A lot of that, and a little bit of vanilla as well, just to give you a little, you know, softening between the stout.
So actual Oreos, mm-hmm. actual fudge mm-hmm. in this beer, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. I would never do it any other way.
All right. I'm disappointed this isn't thicker now that I hear that. I should be able to like coat the back of a spoon with it like a nice gravy.
Yeah, it's you know, whenever I do a 24 or 32 hour boil, I'll get there. I feel like I need to be able to have someone watch the deck whenever I take a nap at that point.
Though. Yeah, yeah. I feel like that we need to get all the long boil brewers together for a festival. I think Pontoon may have kind of did that.
Brownie Bash?
Yeah, Brownie Bash.
That's kind of a long boil fest, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it was featuring a lot of beers that did have a long boil. I think it was very stout friendly. So, and there were some beers that weren't stouts at all, probably weren't long boiled at all. So it wasn't exclusively that, but it was heavy on boil.
Heavy there.
Yeah, heavy on boil. There. I was just looking at this beer. I'm like, let's see if it's got legs, because you know the longer ones do. This has a little bit of color coding.
I see it painting your glass over there.
I believe that. This does say more than a couple of hours worth of boil to me.
Yeah,
for sure.
It finished at like 14 Play-Doh. I don't know what the FG is. So please, you know, if you need to convert that, 15 Play-Doh. Just move along. It's big.
For a short period of time, I had memorized what the formula was to convert it to OG, FG, that sort of thing, and I've forgotten what it was.
We'll make it through this, though.
That's one way we'll do that.
And Andrew, we'll try this. We may not get a chance to try it on the show here, but can you go ahead and tell us about Nuts, Nuts, Nuts?
Nuts, 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 as it has been named. So it's chock full of macadamia, almond, coconut, cacao nib, a little bit of cinnamon, and, oh, marshmallows as well.
That sounds tasty.
Yeah. It is decadent. Going to CBC 2 years ago out in Denver, it really opened my eyes being there with, like, with the Weldworks, Eighth State, Mosca.
Medianoche, right? I think that's Weldworks style.
Yeah.
Like, they know what they're doing on getting that big viscosity, big flavor, not having your beer interact in a harsh way or inappropriate way with, you know, other ingredients or adjuncts. And, oh, man, just, you know, picking their brains and taking that in. And that's, like, what the product that I'm able to produce is off of, you know, their words. And
so since we're diving into long boil talk here a little bit, I know that one of the goals with the long boil is you're concentrating the wort more, so you're going to get a thicker beer.
Yeah.
You're going to get that you know, thickness, the mouthfeel that we're looking for. What else with a super long boil, like an 18-plus hour boil, what do you get out of that?
Caramelization. So you're going to alter flavors of the wort that way. So you're not just getting higher gravity, but more complexity. What else? Typically, so the longer you boil, the more your pH drops and drops and drops, which lower pH, typically a drier kind of perception on your palate, maybe. So you got to counter that. But yeah, it's just what long boil is all about, that ABV and that big body through caramelization and, like, Maillard reactions and everything.
So, all the bigness, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Does it change anything with the fermentability of the wort?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I've made a beer so thick that you couldn't see oxygen flowing through it whenever the oxygen tank was at, like, 60 PSI. So, okay. You know, that's kind of cool. Like, the oxygen just sits on top of it because the beer's so heavy.
Let me apply to that stout, man.
Yeah, seriously.
Like yeast is, like, whenever you go to crash a big heavy stout, sometimes yeast just hangs out in the solution for a little bit longer because it's so thick and it just doesn't want to drag itself down. And it's, you know, I get entertained by that. Like, the bigger, the more fun to me.
I was going to say, you're entertained, but when the beer just sits and sits and sits and sits even longer, I'm sure that starts becoming less entertaining.
If you're going that big, though, you're barrel aging. I went with, like, a 10.5% range is what my target was for this one. It's not like the big 14s and 13.9, sorry. But yeah, it's, I don't have a barrel program yet, but one day soon, hopefully. That's a goal of mine.
As a counterpoint, I'm sorry, did I catch you
off? No, you're good. Okay. You're good.
As a counterpoint, I saw something recently, an article I read that was talking about the advantages of no boil beers as leaving in a lot of body and that being advantageous to stouts. Have you ever tried a no boil beer, and would you ever consider doing one as a stout and seeing how that comes out? I've only ever had one. I'm going to say that. So I don't know what I think about the concept. Are you familiar with it?
So no, I'm not familiar with it. Would I do it? I mean, what? Yeah, sure. Why not? When? I have no idea. I got a lot of reading to do, you know, but it's that's an interesting concept. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like there has to be a problem there.
There were a little bit of note. You know what? Interestingly enough, I used our new friend ChatGPT on this.
Oh.
I went into ChatGPT and I said, is it safe to drink a no boil beer? Guys, I got to say, he gave a pretty nice detailed answer with backstory and whys and that. So the short of it is, a no boil beer, you can leave bad things in your wort, you know, so you can get where not only would the beer sour, but could become unsafe to drink. Because, you know, that is one thing with boiling, you're sterilizing, you're adding the hops in there that do all that. So that is one thing. But Brian, to follow up to that, you said you've heard that some of these no boil beers, they don't boil them, but they do raise the temperature to a pasteurization. Mm-hmm.
Correct. The article I was reading about that, and it's a good point. If you don't if you don't apply some heat, and I think it's dangerous potentially not to. The article I read, I think it said either 15 minutes or 30 minutes of 180 degrees. So not boiling temperature, but clearly pasteurization temperature. Now, it's not going to do the things. There's not going to be like a protein break or anything like that. So you've got all of that extra stuff in the beer. And like I said, I've only ever had one. And I think it was from Sabbath, actually. Jeffrey made one before Sabbath existed. It was kind of a homebrew or something like that. But yeah. The idea is really interesting, and they were saying this is potentially a very interesting thing for people brewing stouts to try out. And I have no idea if it would turn out, because you're leaving stuff in there that are going to be flavor compounds that may or may not be good in a stout. They may or may not be good in a variety of beers. It's just, it's kind of undiscovered country or something
like that. I think that someone needs to take like the same base recipe and go no boil, long boil.
Yeah.
Like split it and do go both directions with it and see what you end up
with. I'd be really curious, like what your wort tastes like before a boil, before all that caramelization and everything. Like, do you, are you going to get the same effect, or is it going to be like strictly the roast from the grain? And
so I wonder with something like that. Sugar. Yeah. Because you wouldn't be getting all of the caramelization. You wouldn't get the Maillard reaction. So maybe it's like a, one of what they call the white stout or whatever that, that people were doing, or maybe like a wheat wine type of thing, or barley wine is a possibility. Like I think there are things to try. I've yet to see anybody actually do it. So that's
be fun. Be fun to check out and see what happens. Andrew, we're about out of time here. Thank you so much for joining and hanging out with us. If people want to find out about what is happening at Steady Hand Beer Company, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh gosh, please follow us on Instagram at Steady Hand Beer Co. Come by the brewery. We're putting out new stuff. I'm very proud of everything that we're doing here.
Good deal.
Sounds
like a plan. Thanks again, Andrew. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you.
That about wraps it up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. Come hang with us next week as we talk Colorado beer. We're gonna have the Guild on, Brian from Colorado. Cool. For more craft beer info, follow us online. We are Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week, and don't forget to drink local. Cheers.